Hello, I am your host, Brenda Nelson, and I am Vice President at Old Republic National Title Insurance Company, and I am the agency university manager, but I also work as the Southwest Region Agency Operations Manager. So my guest today is the Training and Development Manager for Agency University. She joined the company back in 2009, and she served in various sales and management positions in the New England area prior to joining us at Agency University. When she joined, it was Shared Success back in 2014. Now we're Agency University. My guest oversees the mentorship program and assists in the creation and delivery of sales training, customer service programs, both to our employees and to customers. So I'd like to give a warm welcome to Ann Allard. Hey, Ann, how are you?
Brenda, great to see you on a Friday afternoon. This is a great way to end my week, having a conversation with you.
Well, we have many conversations about sales and training, don't we?
We certainly have over the years. So I'm delighted to join you.
I really appreciate you joining me. So, Anne, as you know, on this show, we like to highlight some common mistakes people make in sales and how they overcome those obstacles. So one mistake we'd like to shine a light on today is rationalizing away the sale. So would you mind explaining what that might look like?
Well, I probably can't describe what it looks like, Brenda, but I can probably give you a good idea of what it sounds like. Let me give you a couple of examples. The first one would be that I'm in pursuit of a new account and I start off by sending emails to introduce myself. I don't get a response, so I send another email or I send some kind of a marketing piece. I still get nothing. So then I decide I better make a phone call. I call the person and get their voicemail, which is typical. And I introduce myself again and I request a meeting or ask them if they have an opportunity to sit and talk with me for a few minutes. And still, nothing happens. So instead of continuing to pursue, I sit back and decide that I make a decision or I make a determination that this person is either too busy or just not interested or is already happy with whatever product or service they're getting from whoever they're getting it from. So I quickly rationalize away that sale and decide there's no point in continuing to pursue this person because they're not responsive. So that's one example. Another one might be that my boss asks me to start going after some of the big fish. You know, who in my area is a big player and I should start looking to try to capture some of that business. And I'm a little intimidated by something like that. And so I have this conversation with myself around things and say things like, well, it's really hard to compete in my area because John Smith has been here for a long time. Everybody knows him. He has all the big players. He's got a huge marketing department that gives him everything he needs. And he's got a great big expense account so he can go out and entertain people all the time. So I've pretty much convinced myself that there's no point in me trying to go after a big fish because I just can't compete in that market. And then the third example I would give you would be something like I've brought in a new account and they've promised me some business. But a month or so has gone by and I still haven't seen anything. And I make a decision that, well, you know, I thought he was going to send me some business. I haven't seen any yet. But instead of following up, I decide to rationalize the fact that he's either too busy, he doesn't have any business for me right now, or he's changed his mind. I don't do the follow-up. And then I rationalized the reason that that person has not sent any business my way, even though he's made a commitment to me. So those are three common examples, I think, where we can easily talk ourselves out of it and justify why we either failed or we just didn't get the deal to close.
So really what you're saying is your self-talk can do you in.
It certainly can. And I think, you know, rationalizing away the sale is really a defense mechanism. It's how we justify, you know, an outcome that is unfavorable for us. And it, frankly, it just makes us feel better when we do that. So we move on and we keep going, and then we never go back and analyze or evaluate what went wrong there or what else we might have been able to do in order to move that sales process along. So,
well, can you tell me a time in your career where you've made one of these mistakes and how you remedied that?
Over the course of my career, I've rationalized away many, many sales opportunities, I'm sure. I often used to say that I had a little guy in the back seat that I called my saboteur that drove around with me, and he would tell me all the reasons why something didn't work out or why I couldn't accomplish something. But I think if I were to share one story with you, it was early in my sales career, and it stayed with me and still does today. And it's just the short version of the story is that I went in to see an account that had been reassigned to me. It was an existing customer already. And we had lost some of the business. And so my boss reassigned it to me and wanted me to go in and try to uncover what the problem was. Well, I think I was a little bit overconfident. So I didn't do a lot of research or preparation before I went in to see this individual. And here's what happened. I went in and all smiles with my goodie bag and, you know, a couple of flyers on some products or services or specials that we might have had. And I started to talk and I continued to talk. And when I finally stopped talking, Bob was his name. Bob laid into me. Like, he was furious at our company, absolutely furious. I had no idea when I went in. I thought I was just going in to, you know, introduce myself. And I made an assumption that probably his business was slow because the market was a little bit down at that time. Instead, you know, what I should have done is gone in and asked some questions before I launched in with my pitch or started to tell him about all the wonderful things that our company had to offer. But he just didn't let up. He went up one side of me and down the other. And
what did you do about that?
Well, I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. I was. And I was totally unprepared for how to respond or how to react to this situation. And so I left there really feeling like there's no way I'm ever going to win this business back. In fact, he even said to me before I left, I used to be an exclusive customer of yours, and now I'm giving half of my business to your number one competitor. So I got in my car and I thought to myself, there's no way I can ever win this business back. He's just too angry at us. You know, I blew it. I blew it big time. And I also convinced myself that it wasn't my fault, that I certainly wasn't the one that had upset him because I was new. This was the first meeting we ever had, that it was easy for me to rationalize why I couldn't get this sale because I could put the blame on someone else. I know. But I think as time went on, I didn't like to fail. And I didn't like rejection. And I really liked this guy. And he hadn't totally closed the door on me. He still, you know, he said, I'm giving half of my business to your competitor, which meant that I still had an opportunity to capture that business and to hopefully at some point regain his trust and win back the rest of his business. So I can tell you it took a long time, but I eventually did win him over, and we became, you know, he became almost like a confidant and a mentor to me because I learned so many great lessons from him. But I think what I had to do was begin to evaluate my own performance and to think about what it is that I wanted to accomplish when I went in to see someone. So at the end of the day, I had to work on my own skill set, and I had to, you know, we say this often in so many of our programs at Agency University, being a good listener is such a critical, critical skill to constantly develop and work on and to be mindful of whenever you're in front of someone. It's so easy to want to jump in, finish a sentence, or start launching into something. Instead, I learned how to lead with questions instead of answers. And at the end of the day, I was able to recapture that account. But that lesson stayed with me and still does with my whole career. I often will ask myself now before I even go in to a meeting, whether it's with another customer, whether it's with a prospect, or even with a colleague, who do I want to be when I get there?
Mm-hmm.
And when I started asking a question like that, it was a game changer for me because I started thinking about, I want to be professional. I want to be curious. I want to be, you know, respectful. I want to be, you know, confident, all of those things. And so working on my own personal and professional development, I think, were the keys to overcoming that obstacle of rationalizing away a sale. Even when I didn't, when the result wasn't what I wanted to be, I found that I could always walk away and do a kind of a debrief, ask myself, what did I learn from this customer? What did I learn from this prospect? And what did I learn about myself? So
Anne, bottom line me. So what is the best way to recognize and manage mistakes when you make them?
Well, I think recognizing it comes when you do something like a debrief, which was what I learned to do. I kind of put a process in place for myself. And in fact, sometimes I would even use a SWOT analysis as kind of a guide for myself to say, okay, you know, where was I strong? Where was I weak? Where did I miss an opportunity or where did I capture an opportunity? And were there any threats here, you know, that I could learn to manage or that I need to be aware of? So I started doing that pretty regularly when I, you know, I'd grab a cup of coffee when I finished a call. And I think however someone decides to do that, spend a few minutes when you finish up a call evaluating yourself and making sure that you had some objective that was clearly defined for yourself around that meeting before you go in there. I didn't go into that meeting when I talk about Bob with any really clear objective that day. I went in to just be, you know, a salesperson and talk.
Yeah.
If I had thought about it more, I think the outcome would have been different. So those are the two things I would recommend. You know, have a goal for every single appointment and meeting, even a drop-in when you're making a drop-in visit. Have an objective and also be sure that you have a personal development or a professional development goal for each one of your calls and appointments.
Good advice. Very, very good. Well, Anne, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for your expertise. It was really enlightening. And I want to thank the listeners as well for joining us in the discussion. So until the next time, I'm Brenda Nelson, and together we're going to learn, grow, and prosper.